Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Mini cut mistakes. I know the allure of doing a mini cut, and you're in the off season probably right now and feeling like your stomach's bellowing over your jeans as you sit down. Probably can't even wear jeans because you're a big bodybuilder, right? And hey, 4 weeks away, I'll rip this fat down, get right back to massing. But there's many mistakes that can happen, and the allure of the mini cut might not be able to be sought out. So Luke and I, we're going to address these issues today and see if you actually are set up to do a mini cut or not.
Yeah, I think a mini cut's a sexy thing because it seems like the shortcut sell, right? Like I got too fat, whether that's I took a step away from bodybuilding or I took an all season too far or whatever that may be. And it's like this quick jump back in to be able to making progress. And I think one of the biggest ones I see, like with clients incoming for any of the J3U coaches or anything along those lines, is a lot of people need a lot more than just a mini cut. Yeah.
Yeah. That's number one mistake. Like you actually need a fat loss phase, not a mini cut.
Yeah. And I think
how would you even define a mini cut? Because what's the differentiation point between a mini cut and a fat loss phase?
Primarily duration. I think you could then make an argument, potentially rate of loss is another one. You could, because of the duration, you can run a bit of a quicker rate of loss. But anything sub like 8 weeks, I'd probably call a mini cut. So anything in that 4 to 7 week mark is probably mini cut in duration, where you can run a 1.5% rate of loss for almost the entirety of those 4 to 7 weeks, not have to worry about tissue loss. And a lot of times, if you're planning it the way we typically do, those last like 3 to 4 weeks are when compounds are escalating up into that next push phase anyways. So that higher rate of loss on the back end of the dieting, where you're most likely to potentially have issues with tissue retention, it's not going to be a problem with those compounds escalating. So I think once you start getting into those 8+ weeks, you should be mapping this out a little bit more similar to a fat loss phase, just because it's probably going to need to be a significant amount of weight lost where you need that many weeks to do it. Would you kind of agree in that like duration component?
Yeah, the durations is the big, you know, definer in that. Mm. And I know some people say mini cuts, some people say 4 weeks or 6 weeks. And so, you know, what even separates it out? And I think that's the time component is there. It's just a little murky of like, what is the mini cut? How do you find it? I don't think we have an official definition. I mean, regardless, it's a fat loss phase. And in J3U, like the level one, like when I broke up off season periodization, I just called it an off season fat loss phase. That way it encompasses kind of both. You could start out aggressive, I think, either way, but at some point the issue with the mini cut is that the idea in 4 to 6 weeks, you can stop and wash off that fatigue that could have got really high during a very aggressive mini cut. However, if you actually needed 8 to 12 weeks to get back to a baseline, you're losing out on that opportunity of where, hey, you're going to run into a lot of fatigue, which would impact gym performance. And then you're like actually digging down hard to keep making fat loss happen. Yep. So I guess that's the thing about it, right? You could go in with the intention of a mini cut, 5 weeks later, like, oh shit, I need a lot more pull off. You like deload, bring some food up, and then you go back in for the rest of it. Like, I guess there's nothing wrong
with that.
But absolutely. Like if you're getting to the point where it's getting more drawn out and the duration expands, that's where you kind of differentiate the two.
Yeah. I think, one of the big things with mini cuts as well is like you mentioned fatigue buildup is preferably in neither we see performance detriment, but if we're in like a longer fat loss phase, like I'm okay with maybe a week or two of suboptimal training kind of into deloading and then transitioning, where man, I really don't think there's room for performance detriment in a mini cut, in my opinion.
Yeah. And that's kind of my rule that I've upheld in the off season for fat loss phases is like, I'm not trying to drop training performance, because that's usually when you are getting more into like a contest prep territory, mm-hmm. and you're taking away from the the main goal of the off season. So, and then the, on the back end of that fat loss phase, to regain that ground of training performance and dropping off fatigue and getting back to a place where you're optimal, you're going to have to add some weeks onto that as well. And that's not what we want. We want to be able to turn around after we dropped off some body fat and get right back into pushing. So I think that, that you're right. And like that definitely separates it. Like upholding tissue is primary because we really are just trying to have our off season phase continue here. And what I do think the issue is that we talked about in this mistake is that some people just have gone too far in massing and put too much body fat on. And it just is going to take more than 4 weeks to pull that amount off. Sometimes that first week is just some water drop, some GI weight loss. You almost can't really account that into your, what your predicted percent of weight drop should be if you're aiming for that 1.5%, because it should be bigger that first week. And so then you have to make sure that it, it continues. But I would say on the mini cut, how I usually set up is like, it's a big pull off that first week, which should sustain someone throughout all those weeks of the mini cut. I think if you're having to keep making diet adjustments, then likely you are that person that needed an actual fat loss phase on the way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you can, and I also too, like I'm a big fan of using lipolytics in this setting to try to keep this rate of loss pretty high off the back end if you're kind of doing this rapid fat loss. So I'll even utilize that kind of like the last 3 to 4 weeks to try to get us out of this mini cut. I think that's probably the another big differentiator, right? Is I'm a little bit more quick, happy to use a lipolytic within a mini cut, trying to get someone in and out, than I am with across a diet phase. Like that probably won't come in until we're, you know, really exhausting those resources of cardiovascular activity and nutrition and trying to use those to, as much as we can. But I think that kind of leads us into our next is like, you have to be in a position to be able to use those resources to diet with the caloric intake that you're consuming to be able to do this, right?
Yeah. And some people just don't have the resources. And mistake number two is you have to make sure you have the ability to create a rapid fat loss effect. And some people just don't have it. So it's, this stuff comes down to math, right? Like if you're trying to drop 3 pounds per week, and that, I mean, this would be like, you need to produce 10,000 calorie expenditure for the whole week. Some people don't have that at all. Where I was just talking to one of the J3U coaches about this, and he's like, man, this guy's been drawn out. There's nothing mini about it, because he started off at like 1900 calories, right? So how am I going to pull, you know, 2000 calories out of this guy's diet? Like you're not, he just doesn't even have that there. So you end up, well, I can only pull 500 calories off and then up cardio. And so now we're looking at maybe that 1 pound drop per week, which is just a fat loss phase. So you're not able to have a rapid drop occur just because food's not high enough or cardio is already high, or that person already has like a metabolically just a baseline that's lower than someone else.
Yeah. Do you kind of see that turning into almost like two phases sometimes, where it's like you exhaust as much as you can in that diet phase with the resources they have, you pull them back up, and then you have to kind of go back at it again?
Yeah, that's what it would be like. Or for like the context of this person, it's like the person that's kind of getting into training and they're, you know, they've trained, but they're kind of skinny fat. So you're like, which direction do you take with them? Right. Do they need to mass, or should I drop some fat off? And so, you know, you have to gauge where their body fat is and just where they've been executing all the variables to see what that right path is. I'm almost more inclined to like get them training and get them optimized on the program that we would be doing for them. And then after like 8 weeks, then, hey, let's drop into a fat loss phase. So they have the ability to retain that tissue well during it, and not trying to learn, you know, how to sleep properly sounds funny, but it's true. Like some people, very lack of routine, trying to get all their meals nailed in, getting training execution optimized. Then we could jump into the fat loss phase. But Yeah, for that other case, like once you go there, that person's also not going to be have the ability to optimally execute a fat loss phase as of like a seasoned veteran in doing, you know, body recomposition. So even then, like they're not going to be efficient at week to week dropping body fat, and life's going to happen to where they're like don't drop as much certain weeks, which is going to extend that phase out. So then you would need to pull them back once they hit that state of fatigue being higher and training performance starting to detriment, back into like a growth phase, and then rotating back into that fat loss phase, which I think it would be okay to have those phases rotate a little bit more frequently than what you would see in someone that is more advanced, where they could extend out a growth phase because they're productive, but also short a fat loss phase because they're productive.
Yeah, and you just kind of made a point that I was going to bring up, that arguably a mini cut is more useful of a tool with a more experienced client, like someone who's got a little bit more total tissue on their frame. Typically because just body comp's in a position where the mini cut makes sense to bring them back to their set point, because they're not typically getting so far removed. And then also, like, you never have that middle ground of, is this productive for the phase or not? Like, kind of where are we at total with the body fat percentage, right? So I do see it kind of fitting within the confines of slightly more experienced athletes as well. In general, just because it typically kind of relates to their body composition a bit better.
You brought up an interesting one, because I think there's been people that say, hey, and when we say lipolytics, let's just say clenbuterol as an easy, understandable point for people. I've had some people ask me, like, what the hell is a lipolytic? It's like, well, there's a few that fall into that class, but just stuff that would just raise metabolism and make you, like, have lipolysis and burn body fat, right? So we could lump clenbuterol into that. But some people say, hey, only put clenbuterol in for a contest prep. Like, that's all, you want to save that tool. Kind of almost saying, like, if you use it in the off season, you're not going to get the same effect out of it in prep. But you're saying, Luke, that this would be a time to utilize it. So if you have that person that didn't have the resources calorie-wise to execute that mini cut, is that still the place where you would be utilizing something like that?
Yeah. So, you mean, you can, let's say you go down the path of dieting with someone that doesn't have a ton of resources available. Like, I think that even further promotes the potential to use this lipolytic or this clenbuterol, right? In order to kind of get the most out of that phase that you possibly can. Like, you're wanting to exhaust as many resources without having to go into hypothalamic pituitary thyroidal adaptation, right? Any kind of downregulation of signaling that you can avoid with dieting. And so, like, that would certainly be a place that I would use it. And I think for me, it's more, the way I think of mini cuts is you can't hit a sticking point. Like, if you're going to keep it on the timeline, there's no room to hit a stick point like there is in a prep or a longer diet phase. Like, if that rate of loss slows down to kind of a stall, you can make changes and then progress from there a lot of times within a longer diet phase or a contest prep. Where in a mini cut, like, you're needing to get in and out so quick, like, you have to make changes in order to kind of almost predict when that stall is coming and kind of avoid it ahead of the game. So that's where I see the lipolytic really coming in, is someone's schedule starting to get a little tight with the cardiovascular activity and the mini cut setting. You're trying to keep food a little bit higher so the performance is there, but you need that rate of loss to continue. And it fits so well, in my opinion, to kind of make the most of that back end in the mini cut. And so I would certainly use it in either scenario, the ideal mini cut or the one that doesn't have a lot of resources available.
Yeah, you're just looking through your three main pillars, right? Your diet, output, cardio, et cetera, and then your fat loss agents. Mm-hmm. How can you manipulate these three to get the fat loss rate you need, but also not create an accumulation of fatigue? So if your diet's low, well, then you might be leveraging more of the fat loss agent and cardio. Mm-hmm. Or if you already have someone that's, you know, they're a decent amount of cardio, they have a lot of food, well, hey, we just pull on the food. Some people won't even need to touch the lipolytic. So they're all tools to be able to utilize. So it's not a XYZ protocol that you would always do. Is mini cut, you put the clenbuterol in, you make this manipulation. No. So it's assessing what tools do we have, and then leveraging those to create that effect. Mm-hmm. So just, would clenbuterol stop working if you used it in off season and not, and you didn't use it in contest prep, or you waited till it wouldn't have that impact. So No issue there. Some people have brought up like using Trenbolone in their mini cut, which if I said, yeah, that's cool, then everyone's going to be using Trenbolone and Clenbuterol every time in their mini cut. So it's, we'll save that. If you want to know what our answer would be, join level one and you'll see. There's our cliffhanger. Now, if you want to hear us talk just about Trenbolone and mini cuts, you let us know below. So anyway, Number three, the mistake on mini cuts is that you are poorly managed recovery. Mm. And that would be your limiter as well to making this a mini cut or an actual fat loss phase. And we alluded to this earlier where, hey, our goal in this is rapid fat loss and retaining muscle tissue. But a big piece of retaining that muscle tissue is, for one, upholding gym performance. And to do so, you need to have nailed recovery. Mm. Recovery will be your main thing that's allowing to take that stimulus and training and create the adaptations to grow or to retain tissue. So if you're someone that has the erratic lifestyle or that is very high stress with relationships or work stress, or trying to do multiple things at once, even just the psychological load of that. Mm. If you have poor sleep routine, if you're missing meals every now and then, or your training is suboptimal in certain ways, you have to rush your sessions. I've had people do that when they're like packed full for the day. Like, oh, I'll just increase my, shorten my rest periods and rush through my training session, right? All those things would lead to more fatigue and in turn less ability to retain this tissue, and makes your mini cut phase feel way harder than what it should be as well. So this is one thing, is like you have to have the recovery there. Thanks everyone for tuning in to today's podcast. Are you struggling to hit your peak on show day? Feeling lost in the off season? Upgrade your coaching game with J3 University. Our program covers everything from off season to contest prep to peak week, all based from real client results. Along with our comprehensive physique curriculum, you'll also get access to our four rooms with our J3U team to answer any questions you have and live Q&A sessions to further your coaching and athlete experience. We are the source of education for top IFBB pros and coaches. Join us to elevate the coaching standard at J3 University. Let's get back to today's podcast.
Yeah, I think that's one of the values of mini cuts too, in my opinion, is you can then pull a lot out of the next all season phase, because the mini cut requires like a reinstitution of habits in order to manage it well. I do think people tend to like take a step up in their level of execution when they start dieting kind of across the board relative to off season. So I think it can be a good wake up call for some athletes of like, oh crap, I've really let this slide or this slip or whatever it may be. And I think it's a good place to do that, to remind them that, hey, these habits do lead to better progress, not only in a dieting setting, but in an off season setting as well.
Do you find that it's typical that you're having to do these phases for most people? And is there a psychology around it too that's beneficial?
Yeah, I think maybe sometimes I label it as a mini cut when it's more like a psychological break, like especially for my bigger athletes whose all seasons get a lot towards the back end of it, like a lot of food, a lot of fatigue, a lot of like just general pushing to kind of get to that next level of like tissue and development. Where the mini cut is more like, hey, let's give GI a break. You know, we'll pull a little bit of body fat down. It's not so much as you need a mini cut. It's more just let's move in the opposite direction to kind of build some breathing room for that next phase. And I think that's, at this point with the athletes that I coach, that's probably where I use it the most, is let's give ourselves a little bit of a break post push so that we can set up some more breathing room for the next push and hit that final goal of total tissue that we need.
Over years of coaching and doing this, has anything changed in your approach to when or how you're doing a mini cut?
Yeah, a lot of it has been just like the implementation of compounds on the back end of a mini cut phase and planning it kind of into that next all season push. I used to a lot of times just strictly try to do it in the health phase or the interim phase and just keep it completely within that. I think where I'm probably skewing that more towards compound implementation coming in is because I know I can keep that rate of loss high throughout the entire duration of it. I think that's probably been the biggest change, is just plugging it in that time frame where kind of starts in that in between phase, baseline phase, whatever you want to call it. Because it's not so much of a health phase for bigger athletes, but the back end just kind of pulling those compounds in. I think that's probably the biggest difference. I think that's where I've pulled the most out of mini cuts moving forward, is I can really keep that rate of loss high and it maximizes my efficiency where I'm in and out of it a lot quicker.
Yeah, I've been more open to running it right out of the push phase before dropping into like the hold phase and trying to like hold this body weight for a period of time. Mm-hmm. You have to debate around the idea of like, does holding a body weight make it stick to some degree? Mm-hmm. And what requires to hold that body weight is also that same high food amount, which is probably part of the problem that I run into with a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. And so how do I get back to being productive as fast as possible would be decreasing food. And if I'm also at the same time lowering gear, well, that gear is still going to be super physiological for a few weeks, which could pull them down. So I could have like 4 weeks of just being pretty aggressive. And then I could hold there and bring food up a little bit. And then on the start of the front end of the next push, I could pull the rest off as an idea. Now that's probably more the guy that is pretty dialed in. Mm-hmm. And has his recovery tools in place and trains the way he needs to, because he could be really productive in that setting. And I wouldn't worry about like tissue loss at all with gear being high. But the person that's kind of doesn't have it all put together yet, I would be less inclined to do so. And also that person likely has the longer timeline mm-hmm. than maybe someone that's more advanced, that we have a competition season coming up.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, make the most of my time.
Yeah. I think, maybe where some context on the way I run it is important is I don't try to hold a body weight off the back end of a push. So I'm actually pretty quick to fluff off the GI weight and the extra immediately off of the back end of the push. I just try to let them have like a little bit of time before we go into dieting. So it's like the initial drop is like removal of, like, let's say we've used like some processed foods to try to get food intake up. I'll drop that out. I'll pull total caloric intake down where I'm not seeing body weight increase or even hold. I'm probably letting them drop that first 3 to 5 pounds. Then I'll give them like a couple more weeks of holding and then I'll go into that mini cut. So it's not like I'm trying to hold peak body weight anymore. I don't do that at all. Actually, I think it just causes more problems than it's worth.
Yeah, I think some guys it happens with, and it's fine. And like I did the same thing that you're just talking about with the client. Like food was like, it's where it's just, you're at the ceiling. More food, this weight gain doesn't happen. So pull gear down, and food came down and weight's just been kind of trending down a little bit. Yep. But getting tighter as well, but we're not like aggressively seeking out fat loss. We're just allowing it happen. And then we'll restart the next push phase. He'll be leaner. He'll have like the psychological break. For like myself, I ended this push phase. I'm lean. Food wasn't really a problem. So I end up just kind of just going to a maintenance phase just to wash off fatigue, have gear lower for the healthy aspect, right? Quote unquote. And my body weight ended up just kind of holding around there. It wasn't intentional. It just kind of is what it is, mm-hmm. but I didn't need for it to decline because I wasn't worried about resetting hunger or trying to shut off some body fat quickly. So mm-hmm. just, it's very, you know, situation dependent on how you would go into that phase based on how you in the push phase and assessing what is the need of the next phase. And then that's what you do.
Yep. I agree.
Well, I think that might cover it, Luke, unless you have something else to add.
No, that's mini cut 101.
Mini cut 101. Don't make those three mistakes. You might need a fat loss phase and extend it out. However, you might just be fit for a mini cut. But anyway, Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.